I can assure you that I had no political aspirations or intentions with the theme for the day. However, I realized when I went online to maybe come up with a picture to put up on the screen to focus on the theme, I got about 150,000 hits of President Trump's 2020 campaign, promise made, promise kept. And I had no intention to do that, nor did Simeon. And so it all kind of worked out. Simeon understood that contrary to what everybody said about the Messiah and what the Messiah was to be, Simeon understood he was not a political king. He was not establishing a kingdom for Israel or anyone on earth, but rather the whole earth in salvation, in the kingdom of God. And that is not political. And so it's always amazing to me how from the very beginning, the message is so clear, and yet we as humans, and we'll talk about that a little bit in our time together looking at Luke 2, how we as humans so easily get distracted and miss the main thing of salvation for both Jew and Gentile alike. So I pray God's Holy Spirit will be with us today as we navigate one of these narratives of the childhood of Jesus, not very many of them, the infancy narratives, and so that we could understand and grow into a relationship and a call to mission and ministry. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, your love knows no bounds, and so you sent your Son that we might be your children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading comes from Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 3a and 11 through 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. When the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, he, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when it in time to your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put these on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in the hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." His father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She didn't depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they'd performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In preparing the message today, I came across a theme statement that I really appreciated. Just as Simeon and Anna waited expectantly to see the salvation made for all peoples, we are called to wait expectantly for God to show himself to us all around. Emmanuel is God with us, and we now can see with his eyes, speak with his voice, and love with his heart. We now wait expectantly for God to show us where he is working and inviting us to join in his ministry to those around us. The question for us is, are we expectantly waiting and watching for the promise kept? The reason that jumped out at me so strongly is because so often, and I don't mean to put any kind of dispersions on phrases that might motivate people to follow Christ more deeply and earnestly, but there is a phrase, God-citing, that is used quite often. And I've noticed that quite often that term, God-citing, is used when someone has experienced God working on their behalf, or at least that's what they perceive. A trivial example of that is, I had a God sighting today. I was busy, the kids were screaming, and I needed to stop in at Kroger, and right there, right in front of the door was an open space. Wow, God is so good, got me that parking space right there in front of the door. Saved me so much time. And I go, really? Well, I'm glad he got you a good parking space. I just wonder what's going on with those kids in Afghanistan. And there's so much in the world that is so much trouble, and yet, God worked on my behalf. And that's kind of quite often sometimes I see people using the term God-citing when it seems that God has done something beneficial for them personally. But our theme today, and Simeon's theme and Luke's theme, is really quite opposite than that. A God sighting is when God shows us where he's working and then invites us to join in that ministry to those who are receiving his mercy. When we see ourselves called into action for someone else, not when we see God called into action for ourselves. That, I believe, is a true God sighting, and what we and Simeon are waiting for. So, why is that so important? And why am I talking about that today? Well, because today It just seems, and I know the more you read in history, the more things are the same, whether it's 1700, 1800, 1900, or 2000 something. You know, you'll read something in the paper or in an article somewhere that will talk about all those kids today. They just, you know. And it just seems to be the same kind of story over and over again. So I guess the world has always been a little bit distracting. But it does seem that, yes, today the world remains very distracting. It's kind of like the story that I recently read about a young mother of a toddler, a little girl, cute as a button. But Christmas was wearing on her last nerve. She'd been running and shopping and partying and doing all kinds of stuff, so busy. Kids are, you know, the kids are screaming and you're trying to be getting ready for this and for that, and it's still not done. New Year's is still coming. And then this little three-year-old toddler theologian gathered her mom's hands at the close of the day to pray, her nighttime prayer, and she says, "Dear Jesus, please forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." And how often is that so true? You know, we miss the point of all the celebration and all the Christmases and all the New Year's and all the hopes and dreams of all the years are in thee tonight, and yet we go, "Oh, I'm so wore out. I want God to act on my behalf. I'm working so hard for others." Simeon and Anna were in a similar situation where they were struggling with a world around them that just didn't seem to get it. Could not understand Anna living in the temple grounds all of the rest of her life after a brief marriage with a husband. And Simeon talking about that time the Holy Spirit had come to him and said that he would see the Messiah before he died. Oh, Simeon. And they're waiting. She is praying and fasting, and he's coming and serving in the temple. He's not a priest. He's not ordained. He holds no office in the church or in the government. And yet he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, we're told. And lo and behold, according to the law, a good Jewish mother and father, Mary and Joseph, traveled 5 miles out of Bethlehem where they'd been waiting for this period, 40 days after the birth of her child, Jesus, to be purified according to the law so that she could return home. She wasn't kicked out of the church, but she was unclean through the stain of blood and giving birth, and so she had to go through that ritual so that she could return into full fellowship with her family and her church and her community. And so, you know, this is something that they'd been waiting for over a month, out away from home, away from resource. We're kind of told that. I don't know if they themselves were indigenously poor, like back home, but they'd been away from home for over a month, almost 2 months now, and their money was short, and so they gave the cheapest purification gift they could, a couple turtle doves. Like I say, they certainly didn't have a lot of money at that time. And of course, the wise men weren't going to come for a couple years yet with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which would quickly be spent, as we'll learn, as they go to Egypt in emigration because of their lives in threat. But here they come to the temple, and the waiting, apparently, for Simeon is over. He realizes something that the whole world and we often miss. Jesus Christ is not a political Messiah. He's a little teeny baby, and yet he holds this baby in his arms as he says, "God has done it. He has kept his promise. It is right here in my hand." Well, he's won no war. He's got no political clout. He's a baby. Babies are burdens in first century Israel. They are a drain on parents and society. And here's Simeon holding this baby saying, "This is the precious prize of a promise kept by God through all generations." And he gives that beautiful nunc dimittis. "Now let your servant depart in peace. I have seen your word fulfilled." And he understands so clearly that this Jesus is for all people, Jew and Gentile, male, female, everybody is included in this gospel message. And we in the church so often, and have historically so often, got confused by all kinds of other messages and causes and purposes and sign-carrying and protest, when the reality, what we are called to be about, is to announce the good news of Jesus Christ, that he loves the whole world. He is the light bringing revelation to the Gentiles and glory to Israel, not in a political sense, but as the precious vessel by which God's grace is provided. This picture, as wonderful as it is, Simeon tells us, if you got warm and fuzzies this Christmas, they're about to go away because a broadsword is about to cut this woman in half. The grief and the pain that she is going to endure because Jesus himself, though his message is of pure love and peace and joy, is going to bring rejection. He's going to be what he calls a stumbling block. A stumbling block, scandalon, we get the word scandal from, is contrary to Petros, or Peter, the foundation rock, you know, ground rock, heavy earthbound rock. A scandalon is an uneven step in the sidewalk, or that nasty pothole, you know. Are you bad-mouthing that pothole? Yes, I am. That pothole that breaks your tire. It doesn't wreck your car, but it pops your tire and breaks your rim, makes you late for work. It's something that trips you up. Jesus is going to be this thing that trips people up because he doesn't fit what they want God to do. He doesn't fit their idea of a God sighting because he's caring for those people and fellowshipping with those folks, and not the kind of God that we want. But Anna, a prophetess, like Miriam, Deborah, Huldah, and Philip's daughters in Acts, is a woman of faith who proclaims in this infant narrative that Jesus is who he says he is. We don't hear again about Jesus until he's about 12 years old. And so we don't know a whole lot in between time. We're just told that he grew up in knowledge and in the favor of God, became strong. But we do know, and we can hold on to, sort of what C.S. Lewis says, I'm sure God keeps no one waiting unless that's it's good for us to wait. And God has a plan. We see that in Simeon, in Anna, in ourselves, with our hindsight, which is 20/20. I like what John Wesley said. He made a really nice turn of phrase, that when we see a promise kept, what is it that should be our response? And John Wesley said, well, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. In Jesus' name, the one who is promise kept. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father who gave the gift of his Son, the Son who gave us the gift of eternal life, and the Holy Spirit who gives us to one another in love, bless you and keep you now and forever. Amen.